Turn to the book of Ephesians. We are in chapter 6. We are at verse 18, and this will be the last sermon. Can you believe that we have been in Ephesians for nearly 1 year? Isn't that amazing? But what an incredible study it's been. You know, this epistle is without a doubt the greatest writing in the history of mankind. It literally is. Matter of fact, let me just give you a few of what people have said about it as we conclude this great study today. It says that Ephesians has been called the greatest piece of writing in all history, the profoundest thing that has ever been written. It's the crown of Paul's writings. I believe that, and there's no doubt about it. What's wonderful to know is that Paul, writing from a Roman prison cell, penned this by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people, and I love them dearly and respect them highly, that when you come to verse 18, okay, as they put an end to the armor of God, and they teach that there's only 6 pieces of armor, and I respect them, I love them, I certainly do not sit in judgment of any pastor, theologian, Bible college professor that believes that, because they stand on perfectly solid ground. But I always consider that there are 7 pieces of armor, and prayer is one of them. Does that make sense? And the reason I say that, or I should say the reason that so many believe, pastors and so forth, that there's only 6 pieces of armor is because when we study out everything, Paul relates each piece to a particular part of the body, doesn't he? The helmet of salvation, you know, shod in your feet and so forth. But when we get to prayer, there's not a particular part that is mentioned about the body. However, that's wrong, because the Bible teaches us very clearly in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your what? Your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God." So our whole being, everything that we are, we present unto the Lord. And so the Lord, here's my body. I give it unto you. I lay it upon your altar as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. The Bible tells us also, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "But do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" The Holy Spirit, the temple, that word means naos. We are indeed the holy of holies of God. We're the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, from whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, praying in the Spirit is the greatest, one of the greatest weapons that we have. Loved one, prayer is absolutely vital. Did you have a prayer time this morning? Don't raise your hand. You're not going to get a star if you did, but we'll take an offering from you. No, it's a joke. Come on, lighten up. Second service, we're free. We're not like that first service. Come on, in bondage and religion. No, no, we're the happy bunch. No, listen, you know, did you have your prayer time? Did you go to the Lord in prayer? Because it says right here about spiritual warfare, and we are in a war. It starts off and it says, praying always. Now, we cannot walk worthy of our calling unless we fulfill verse 18, loved one. Remember what it means to walk worthy? The word worthy is a picture of a set of scales, okay? 5 pounds and 5 pounds. So you're equal, you're equal, you're balanced. Let's have it that way. You have a balanced walk. So the way to have a balanced walk in spiritual warfare or in your personal walk, with the Lord Jesus, is that you have to know doctrine. So you're equal in doctrine, and then you apply that doctrine. You hear God's word, and you do God's word. Amen? Now you have a balanced walk. And that's why verse 18 is so important, because if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, we have to have verse 18 in our hearts. And here goes. It says, praying how much? There you go. You should underline that word, praying always. Now, that means that you are to stay. Don't you just pray during the day, little prayers, big prayers, and talk to the Lord? It just means that we stay in constant communication with our Father in heaven. And that's the best thing we can do. Amen? So it says praying always, and look at it now. It tells us to pray always, and it tells us with all kinds of prayer, supplication, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and with all supplication for the saints. So here's the deal. A lot of people, especially believers, they get to verse 18 and they go, well, this almost is like an afterthought from the Apostle Paul. No, it's not. When he says praying always, no, he says, listen, we're in a real war. We have a real enemy. Or, let me back up. A real defeated enemy. Amen? That's right. And so here's the deal. You know, Satan, who is the god of this age, Satan, who it says in the Bible in 1 John 5:19, says we know that we're of God, but the whole world, the world that is under the system of Antichrist system, the whole world lies in the arms or the sway or the cradle of the wicked one, meaning the devil. We don't. The world does. Now, here's the deal. Satan hates you. And Satan hates being defeated. And Satan doesn't want one prayer, little prayer, big prayer, quick prayer, doesn't matter. He doesn't want one prayer to God, the true and living God, in his territory. Does that make sense? See, this is his territory. We're citizens of heaven, loved one. This world is passing away and the lust therein. But so he says, no, the world. This is my world. This is, he thinks it's his world. Let's put it that way. No, he's voted out. How's that sound? Now, no pun intended on that, by the way. No, the fact is, and I really meant no pun intended. It just came up. Help me, Lord. I'm with a mean bunch. Listen, you know, he doesn't want you to utter a prayer in your home. He doesn't want you to utter any prayers here. He doesn't want you to utter one prayer when you're driving to school or to work or whatever you do. This is his territory. He's the God of this age. And he'll do anything he can to prevent you from doing so. And sadly, you know it. I know it. Prayer, which is the most vital of all the things that we do, prayer, unfortunately, is the most neglected spiritual discipline of the life of the believer, isn't it? Come on. Did you have your quiet time this morning? Again, I'm not saying, you know, but in other words, it's neglected until you get in trouble. It's neglected until things start falling apart. Then you go, oh God, I'm here. I know you're there, Lord, help me. No, then you start praying. Listen, prayer will always be the work. I've said that all these years here. I've said it so much and so often, I really believe that I coined that. Do you understand? I think it was E.M. Bounds that Cohen prayer is the work. I don't even remember. But as far as I'm concerned, it's mine now, okay? So prayer, it is the work. And that's how you get to the Lord. But see, Satan in his schemes, okay, what he tries to do is wear you out, wear you down, emotionally, spiritually, physically, any way he can, he wants to just tear you down, especially he wants to make you exhausted. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. You know it and I know it. This pandemic can exhaust us. You know, we can, like, what's the coin now? It's called COVID fatigue. And that just doesn't mean you've had COVID and now you're exhausted. I understand that part of it. But I'm saying that it's just, you're tired of it. I'm tired of it. And we have to keep our focus on our Lord. Amen? To get through this. So, but the devil, what he does, he'll do anything he can to stop you from communicating with God, your Father, my Father, and anything he can to prevent you from doing that. You know, he doesn't care if you talk about prayer. He doesn't care if you believe in prayer. He doesn't care how many books you read on prayer, as long as you're not really a person of prayer. Does that make sense? See, Satan is terrified of a believer that truly prays. Samuel Chadwick said this, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." Think about that. What kind of praying are we to do? It says all kinds of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is simply speaking unto God, isn't it? That's it. It's communication. It's not a monologue. It is a dialogue. That's what prayer is. He speaks to us. We speak to him. Amen? So prayer is just simply speaking unto the Lord, but it says prayers and also supplications. What does supplications is pleading with God for. It's a specific thing, a specific request. You remember in Philippians 4:6, Paul writes and he says, be anxious for nothing. I like that word, don't you? That means don't let anything get you down. Nothing, no matter what it is. Be anxious, don't be torn apart for nothing. But with everything, with prayers, but in everything by prayer, supplications, with thanksgiving, let your what? Requests be known unto God. Okay, that's what supplication is. It is a pleading. It is a specific request unto God our Father there at the throne of grace. And then intercession, remember, intercessory prayer is when we, the church, we get into the struggle in prayer for others. Now, Satan fears the throne of grace. I tell you, you need to never forget that. Satan fears the throne of grace. Why? For he knows who is there. Amen? In other words, Jesus, our Lord, the one who has all authority in heaven and upon this earth, Jesus, who's sitting at the right hand of God, who ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. Loved one, listen. Jesus, Satan hates the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus defeated him. He defeated death. Amen? He defeated our sin, and he rose again, and he is seated at the right hand of God, and we ascended with him, it says in Ephesians 2:6. That is our position right now in heaven. Now listen, Satan will do anything, no matter what it is, to discourage you when it comes to your prayer time. He doesn't want you to go to the throne of grace. Matter of fact, he'll do anything in his power, if you do go to the throne of grace, to limit your time there. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, sometimes the Lord, he gets me up early. I don't want him to get me up early. I need my sleep, especially my beauty sleep, can you tell? You know? But you get up and you go in there and you're obedient and you pray and, you know, and then who in the world would send a text at 3:00 in the morning? Do you understand? I'm going. And of course, you know, here you are, you're right in prayer, it's going great. No, the lights are all out, it's 3:00, 3:30. You know everybody's sleeping in the world. And all of a sudden, ding. And you know you wouldn't go look at it. And I'm going, what moron did that? No. So, you know what I mean? See, he'll do anything to limit your time at the throne of grace. Why? Satan fears the throne of grace. Because he knows what is available at the throne of grace for every true believer in Christ Jesus. Amen? The Bible tells us, Hebrews 4:16, it says, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace. There's not one charge against you at the throne of grace. Not the throne of judgment, the throne of grace. And it says, where we may obtain what? Number one, mercy. Number two, find grace to help in time of need. Think about that. It's right there. We are the only people on this earth that stand in the unmerited, undeserved, unconditional, divine favor of God for all eternity. Think about that. Oh, he doesn't want you to go there. He doesn't want you to obtain anything from the throne of grace. He knows everything that you need is right there. And he knows that God loves you so much, he sent his only begotten son to die for your sins. Amen? So listen, we're the only people on earth that we have access to God the Father, and we have access without condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? No judgment. We can freely come into the throne of grace whenever we want to. We are the only people can do so, and we can only come one way. We come in prayer and by one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, having boldness, not in ourselves, boldness in our Lord, okay? Having boldness, and I love these two words, boldness to enter. Isn't that something? See, it's invisible, but we can go there. It's right there. We really do go to the throne of grace, okay? How do I know that? Let me read it again. Having boldness to enter the holiness, that's the tabernacle in heaven, that's the Holy of Holies, that's where the throne of grace is located. Having boldness to enter the holiest, and here's how we go, by the blood of Jesus. Think about that. The one who died for you and me. The one that God punished, who had no sin for you and me. Now we come and we appropriate the things that we need now. We're in a spiritual battle. We go there and we appropriate what we need by faith. It belongs to you. Every blessing belongs to you in Christ Jesus. Amen? They're already ours, and you can go there and obtain them. All power that we need is there. Every resource is there. Man, listen, we need to seek things which are above, like it says in Colossians 3. Amen? Where Christ is sitting, where Christ is right now at the right hand of God. Why? For we died, and Christ is our life. Amen? Oh, what a glorious word that is. It says again, look at verse 18. It says, praying always, all kinds of prayer there, supplication. It says, in the Spirit. Now, Satan not only is terrified of the one who sits at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He not only is terrified of you going to the throne of grace because you know what you can obtain there, and every blessing is yours again, but Satan is terrified of Spirit-filled prayer. And a person who prays in the Spirit, let's stop right there. That doesn't mean praying in other tongues. Are y'all with me? Now, that's certainly available, but it doesn't matter whether the person is praying in their prayer language, okay, or if they're praying in their normal language, like I'm talking right now, as long as it's empowered by the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Yeah, powerful praying, love. Well, no matter how you pray, if it's the Spirit's there, it's powerful. So he's terrified of that. And for you to be praying in the Spirit, number one, it means that you have a relationship or intimacy. You know who the Holy Spirit is. Number two, it means that you practice awareness because you know the Holy Spirit is not only in you, he has sealed you, but he is also alongside of you, and he has come upon you, as it says in Acts 1:8, and empowered you. Amen? So praying in the Spirit terrifies him. And here's the deal, though. Satan wants you so ignorant of the divine helper. He wants you, your thinking, he wants to control the way you think about the Holy Spirit. He wants you to look or think that the Holy Spirit, number one, is a force or an essence or a power, and he is powerful, okay, or an it, but no, or a language. No, the Holy Spirit, loved one, he is a person. You know, the Holy Spirit, yes, is a doctrine, okay? But if you treat the Holy Spirit as a doctrine, you don't know who he is. See, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is God, and he is here right now. Amen. No, he really is here, and he's up here with me. He'll never leave us, nor will he ever, ever forsake us. But more than that, the Holy Spirit does something. It says in Ephesians 2:18, for through him, meaning Jesus, we both, meaning Jew and Gentile, who have been made one new man, okay, have access, and that's a beautiful word, have access, meaning to the throne of grace. It says by one Spirit to the Father. So when we think of praying in the Spirit, talking about spiritual warfare now, effective, fervent prayer is absolutely impossible without the Holy Spirit. No wonder Paul tells us, remember, if we went all the way back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye being filled, that's a command, be ye being filled with the Spirit. We need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that refilling each and every day of our life. We need the divine helper. Amen? Amen? There was no doubt about it. But why? Well, number one, the Christian life cannot be lived without the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus told us in John 15:5, he says, without me, you can do nothing. We need the Lord. And more than that, in spiritual warfare, what did Paul tell us in verse 10? He says, finally, brethren, be strong in your strength. No, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But question, why does Paul here write and add in the Spirit? That's so vital and so important. And here's the deal. Because I don't know about you, I'll just use me, because I don't know always how to pray for someone. I don't know how to pray through this pandemic sometimes. Does that make sense? You know, I don't know, I hear, you know, Judge Whitley, for example, he's begging every church in Tarrant County to close. And I'm going, oh God, I don't want to do that. Lord, do you understand what I'm saying? All these things. Praying. I say, Lord, they're getting ready to leave on Thanksgiving. Are they going to be safe? Are they going to really, I know these guys, they're not going to wear masks with their family. They're going to eat, they're going to hug, they're going to kiss, they're going to have a great time, and then I don't want them sick. Are y'all following me? I don't want you sick. I don't want you to be sick. Ever. Loved one, listen, how do we pray? Oh, I thank God for the Holy Spirit because he helps me pray. He helps you to pray. Amen? I need a helper. I need the divine helper. Man, we are in a war because I don't always know how to pray. But he does because the Holy Spirit knows everything. Amen? The Bible says in Jude 20, it says, but you, it's personal, you. He says, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, the most holy faith is not your personal faith, okay? It is, the most holy faith is the 66 books that we now possess, the Word of the living God. And he says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. And then he says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, to pray in the Holy Spirit means that you and I, we have the greatest prayer partner in the history of the universe. Amen? Think about that. And it's the Holy Spirit praying through us. It's not that he prays. He helps us to pray. Does that make sense? We're the one doing the praying. It says in Romans 8:26, likewise, Paul says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You understand? I know I need to pray, but I just don't know how to pray or what to pray for that person or that individual or the church or whatever people are going through in their hearts and their marriages, their children. You see what I'm getting at? So it says, oh, he helps us because we don't know how we should pray as we are. It says, but the Spirit himself who lives in us, the Holy Spirit himself, makes intercessions for us. He makes intercessions. That means he pleads our cause before the throne of grace. That means that he throws his entire being into what we need and how we should pray. Thank God for that. And listen how the Holy Spirit helps us pray, and listen how the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. It says he does so with groanings which cannot be uttered. Too deep to understand. Too deep sometimes to even be spoken. The divine articulation of the Holy Spirit there at the throne of grace praying through you. That is unbelievable, but it's true. Spurgeon put it this way. He said, groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. And then Paul continues in Romans 8 and he says, now God, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints. How is he making intercession for us? Listen carefully. According to the will of God. Not our will, but God's will for our life. Man, listen, I love that. The Holy Spirit, he's in us. He's helping us to pray. Listen, he creates the right kind of praying in us. It comes out of our mouth because he empowers us to pray it. Does that make sense? You know exactly what I'm saying. You have sometimes in your prayer time, sometimes my prayer time stinks, okay? It's just, Lord, okay, I've prayed for everybody in the list. I didn't get a thing. I didn't know I'm hearing you, da-da-da-da-da. But then there are times that you just go into your prayer closet and all of a sudden you know that the Lord is using you in prayer. all of a sudden things are rising up in your spirit and you're going, oh Lord, I can't believe I'm praying this for that person. And it just keeps coming up and you're going, ooh, I'm a prayer warrior. You know, no, it's the Holy Spirit creating that in you and you're voicing it before the throne of grace. Does that make sense? Praying that perfect will of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's our ever-present friend. He's our strengthener, our standby, our helper. He's that still small voice that abides in your heart and he speaks to you, tells you yes and no, and do that but don't do that. He helps us. He is our friend. And as we're praying, look what it says now. It says, praying in the Spirit, but being watchful to this end. The word watching or watchful there literally means to lie sleepless. Have you ever done that? You know what I mean? You're on the bed and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you are awake, lying sleepless, and you want to sleep. You, matter of fact, you'd pay somebody to help you sleep. You know what I'm saying? But you can't. That's what that word means. It's like when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he, remember, he had great sweating, great drops of blood, all that. He told his disciples, he said, oh my, can you not tarry with me 1 hour? Can you not pray with me just 1 hour? Of course, no, they were sleeping. Loved one, listen, we don't want to sleep. We want to watch. We want to be alert. We want to wake up. Amen? Amen. Especially in our prayer time. It says, Jesus told them, he said in Matthew 26:41, he says, wake up or watch, be constantly alert, be on guard, lest you fall into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter writes to us and he says in 1 Peter 4:7, he says, behold, the end of all things is at hand. And I believe the end of all things is at hand, loved one. That means to be expectant, to be awake, to be alert. He says, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. Stay awake, be alert. And then he tells us to pray with all perseverance in prayer. That word perseverance, as you already know, it means persistence. It means that you don't ever give up. It means that you don't ever quit. You don't faint. You keep praying until the Holy Spirit gives you a release where you know that you don't have to pray for it anymore. Does that make sense? Where there's not the burden to pray anymore. And the reason that we are to be persistent in our watching is because we have an enemy that is persistent. Have you ever noticed that the devil never stops? He lives to deceive. He lives to lie. Sin is his diet. Steal, kill, and destroy is his MO. Does that make sense? He doesn't stop at all. Satan doesn't take a nap. Satan doesn't, rest. He doesn't have a lazy boy like me. Do you understand? You know, where it's already conformed to my image and all that. No, he doesn't have that at all, man. He doesn't care. He's on the prowl. He's always looking for a victim. So we have to be watchful. We have to be persistent or persevere in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, meaning that persistence. Don't ever give up. Being vigilant or stay awake, be alert, be watchful. The reason? There's an enemy out there. And do so with thanksgiving. Jesus, in the parable of the unjust judge and the widow, remember, he said in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not faint. That word means don't become discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. Listen, here's the problem. I've done it. You've done it. We stop praying and right before the answer comes. Don't do that. You just keep praying, like I said, until there's no grace for you to pray or no strength for you to pray anymore. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 7:7. He said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. Amen. If you ask, Jesus said, you're going to receive. You knock, that door is going to open for you. You're going to find whatever you need. Matter of fact, those are all imperative tenses, so it'd be keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. Don't ever stop. That persistence in prayer. And look again at verse 18 now. It says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, all persistence and supplication, pleading with God, for whom? For all the what? All the saints, that's plural, all the set apart ones, all the hagios, the holy ones of God. That's us, loved one. Listen, so the object of our praying is all the saints of God. Why? Because we are all in a war. Does that make sense? All of us, we're in a war right this minute. We're all in a war. We all have the same enemy, and we all have the same word of God and the promises of God, and we all have the armor of God. Listen, we are in a war together. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We are in a war against the defeated devil. I love to say those words, defeated devil. Amen? Yes, and it's high time. It is high time. That means it's right now, the 21st century. 2021 is right around the corner unless the Lord tarries and takes us home. But listen, it's high time for the church to awake out of sleep. The devil's defeated. We're not defeated. Do you understand? Yes, we need to wake up. It's like we don't believe that. Oh, listen, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It is. We're closer. We are closer than any local body in the history of Christianity to the coming of the Lord or the rapture of the church. Think about that. It may be next year. It may be Christmas. It may be tomorrow. It could even be tonight. Why? Well, the night is far spent, loved one. The day is at hand. I don't want Calvary Chapel. Oh, no, no, no. God doesn't want Calvary Chapel to have a bunch of programs. Do you understand? Oh, the church has all kinds of programs, but they don't have all kinds of praying. You know, we are so organized, but where's the agonizing? And that's what prayer does. You know, little prayer costs us nothing. Do you know what I mean? Prayer is the work. James writes to us in James 4:2, he says, you have not because you ask not. And then in verse 3, he says, and the reason you don't have it is because you ask amiss or you ask wrongly because of your appetite. You want it for your own cravings, your own lust and so forth. You know, listen, we don't want to be a bunch of sissy prayer warriors. Amen. You know, we don't want sissy prayers. Oh, Lord, you know, I need a husband. Oh, yeah. I need a wife. No, no, listen, he knows that. But Paul doesn't pray like that. Go read the prayers of Paul. He's not a sissy prayer warrior. Do you understand? God knows you need a home. He knows all those things. So what do you do to get your clothes, whatever you need? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, meaning everything you need in life, will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Amen? That's how we do it. No, listen, prayer without faith, did you know, is not prayer. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. When you go to the throne of grace, loved one, you have to believe that the promises of God, the word of God, is true. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him, for he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder of those who, there's that word, very important, not just seek him, diligently seek him, going after God. That's what this church, all churches, must do. And then he says in verse 19, man, pray for the saints, and look what he says, and would you pray for me? Don't you love Paul? I mean, he said, pray for me. You know, he says, pray for me. Why? Well, that my lips may be open, or that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the good news or the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and so are we, loved one, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what I love about Paul? Paul knew how important prayer was. You know, when somebody says, you're praying for me, I go, praise God, pray for me. Are you fasting too? You know? It went over her head. First service, got it. They didn't get it. It's all right. Do you understand? I covet your prayers. Do you know I pray for you? I don't know all of your names, but the names that I do know, I pray. They're lifted to the throne of grace. Your name is known in heaven. Prayer is indeed the work, but for one little section, one little scripture, one little moment, you know what Paul does? He becomes personal. He said, I need you to pray for me. He's in Rome. They're in Ephesus. Did you know that prayer knows no distance? He says, you pray for me. You go to the throne of grace. Go there for me. Wouldn't you think it's odd that here is a man who is a writer of one-third of the New Testament who has raised the dead, healed, cast out demons, you know, and healed people, all the rest of it, you know, and went up into heaven. He goes, we want to pray for you, Paul. How in the world do you want us to pray for you? Do you want us to pray that you're going to be released from prison? Get out of that jail cell? No, that's not what Paul wanted. Or that, you know, guys, I just finished my latest book. It's out. Many bookstores. I'm sorry, Lord. If you'll send that offering, or I'll be off the air next week. Good. Get off the air. No. I know. I'm a mean pastor. No, listen. He didn't do that at all. Paul, the apostle, penned the greatest epistle in all of the world and for all time in a Roman prison cell. And here's what he wanted you to do. He said, would you pray that God opens my mouth? Would you pray that I speak the word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ boldly? What a great prayer. What a great apostle. And then in verse 21, but that you also may know of my affairs and how I'm doing. Antichius, it says, he delivered the epistle, by the way. It says, a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord. He's going to make all these things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that number one, you may know of my affairs or our affairs. And number two, watch this. I'm sending him to you from a prison cell in Rome to Ephesus with this incredible letter, that he may comfort your hearts. You know, is that the kind of letter you would write from a prison cell? It's not about Paul. He's concerned about them. Amen? What a great man of God. Oh, no. He says, listen, peace to the brethren. Love with faith from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all. Be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Apart from Jesus, our Lord, and Paul, Tychicus is the only personal name that is given to us in the book of Ephesians. And, you know, again, he sent the letter there, or took it himself, delivered it. You know, that last word, sincerity, it's a unique word in the Greek. It doesn't literally mean like genuine or anything. It means undying love. The word actually is incorruptible. It means undying love, a love that never dies for Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, did Ephesus leave their first love? Yes, they did. Loved one, listen, praying always in the Spirit is power. And in order to do so, you have to be in agreement with the Spirit, in agreement with the Word of God. Here's where we are right now. And I have a message that I'm going to be bringing about some of the things that God has shown me. And I'm almost reluctant to do so. And I'm not saying I will either. I'm still praying it through to make sure God would have me do that, since we're finishing here with Ephesians. But there has to be a group of believers, a local body, the church corporately. There has to be something happen, loved one. They have to rise up and truly believe the words of our Savior. He said in Matthew 28:18, he said, all authority, not some authority, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's the head of the church. We're the body. We're his people. We must rise up and truly believe what it says in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, above all that we can think, according to the power that works in us, and the purpose is for God to be glorified in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And we are a generation. Amen. God telling Jeremiah, boy, we need to believe this. He was telling Jeremiah in chapter 32, verse 26. He says, oh, Jeremiah, you listen to me. He says, behold, I am the Lord. I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Think about that. Is there anything too hard for God? No, well, we belong. He's our Father in heaven, loved one. Listen, we must, in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of all the things that are happening, listen, we have to be about the Lord's business, not the world's business. Had the church in America, had they been as serious about this, the elections, and they were serious, the evangelical church, had, if we would be as serious about the children that are being trafficked for sex on our streets as we were about the election, there would be no sex traffickers on our streets. Do you understand? Peddling little girls and little boys. You know what? Why don't we get mad about that? Why don't we protest that? Why don't we have marches against that? Why don't we go down there and run them out in Jesus' name? When I see a little girl, I look at the children in our kids' church and I think of someone harming them. Do you know it takes my breath away? It takes my breath away. We are the church of the living God. We are never going to be defeated. Do you understand? But we have to believe that. We have to rise up and do that. Man, listen, we need to get into prayer and cleanse this filthy heavenlies that's above us. We need to displace the wickedness, the crimes, the murder. We need to come against it. I mean, we need to pray against it. We need to pray them out. Amen? Bill, that's impossible. Then you need to read what in the days of Finney. You know what I mean? The revivals that happened. Jonathan Edwards and so forth. Finney could literally walk into a place. I mean, the reason is because he had the people there ahead of time praying for him. Do you know what I'm saying? Praying over the city. You should read that. Anyway, I don't have time to go all. But here's the thing. He could walk into a factory. And the power of God was so present in his ministry that people in the factories would start weeping and start crying and start repenting of their sins and just want Christ as their Lord. Do you know that's true? I told the early service about a dearly loved one of mine that was a manager there at the TGI Friday or whatever it's called. Thank God it's Friday. I don't know what it means. TGI something. And it's a place you eat over by the airport. And I've told you that story before. And when all of a sudden these people come in, they sit down to be served, and all of the waitresses and the servant, they run into the bathroom, the restroom, and they start weeping. And so the manager, he goes in and said, "What are you doing? You got," and they just break in. And I said, "We don't know what's wrong. There's like a presence in this restaurant." And so the manager walks over to the table, and there's a guy with a baseball cap pulled down and little sunglasses on his eyes and people around him. And he goes, "Sir," he said, "are you Billy Graham?" He says, "Yes, I'm wanting to place an order." Why did that happen? Because of the presence of God. Because thousands and thousands of people were praying at that time for his ministry. Do you understand? Listen. We cannot be defeated, but we can let them defeat us unless we do something about it. Oh, church, listen, it is time. And you know, listen, Satan is defeated, and our Lord, I know it's time to go home. Not yet. I have 5 minutes. Time to reign. God reigns. Amen? The Bible, listen, one more scripture. Ephesians 1:21, talking about Jesus, who is far above all principality. Far above. That's everything and anything, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. Let any name be named. Sex traffickers on the streets with our children. That's not a name. That's filth. You let any name be mentioned through the lips of a human being. You let any name be uttered from the lips of a human being. There is no name greater than that of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Every tongue will one day confess, and every knee will bow to God. Amen? Jesus is Lord, and he is our Lord. And he goes on and he says, and he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church. That's us, which is his body, the fullness of him, We're the fullness, the pleru, remember? The fullness of him who fills all and all. We're filled with his love. We're filled with his gifts. We're filled with his power. Loved one, we're filled with Jesus. We need to believe those things. Only two kingdoms on this planet. Only two kingdoms. Light, that's God. The other one is darkness. That's the devil. He's not going to make it. We are going to make it. Amen? Oh, how we need to know that. Believe that. Every person on earth is either in one or the other. The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of heaven. I pray that all of you are in the kingdom of God this morning. I pray that all those who are listening are in the kingdom of God this morning. If not, you need to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Say, Jesus, come and live in my heart. Save me. If you're sincere, you believe that he will. From my heart to your home, to your travels, bus, air, car, wherever you go, I bid you a Christ-centered Thanksgiving, a peaceful Thanksgiving, a safe Thanksgiving. Don't take chances. Go have a great Thanksgiving. Eat all the pumpkin pie and with Cool Whip on top and strawberries. I knew they'd get Tom's attention. His eyes just lit up and glowed. He loves strawberries. You know what I'm saying? Enjoy yourself, but enjoy yourself and be safe. Amen? Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this church. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to have a safe Thanksgiving. Lord, COVID-free Thanksgiving. And they're going to come back here safe and sound, and we're going to love you next Sunday and worship you next Sunday, and we're all going to be well. So, Father, with all that being said, thank you for this Thanksgiving week. We love you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus, and the church says,